Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Thanks for joining us today. It is St. Patrick's Day, of course, March 17th. We're doing an evening show. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California, where I have the cabbage on, Julie. The cabbage is a-boiling. I'm going to throw in the potatoes and the carrots, and then we're having it with Irish stew right after I finish editing the podcast. How about you? How are you celebrating St. Patrick's Day in Brooklyn, New York?
I put the baby in green clothes today, Leanne. That was Josephine was wearing the green today. So that was our big day. It was very, very windy today in New York City, Leanne, and 40-mile-an-hour gusts. At one point, I was out there and I had to duck because some restaurant must have thrown away a bag of garlic bread. This bag of garlic bread came at me at about 20 miles an hour.
Ouch, that hurts.
It could have, Leanne, but I'm quick.
Okay.
So happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
And just a note, you know, my friend Colleen and my book editor and publisher, she just wants everyone to know it's Paddy's Day. It's not Paddy's Day. P-A-D-D-Y is the correct takedown of St. Patrick's Day. Paddy is short for the boy's name, Patrick. Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, is short for Patricia. So just a note.
Spoken like a real editor, Leanne.
Yes.
I like that. Yes.
So there you go. Just want to put that out there. You know, there's been a lot of talk about restorative broth on the Facebook page. And Julie said, this show today is akin to restorative broth. Very, very thin. But not that thin. Surprisingly
it's
rich.
It's not a hearty stew tonight, Leanne.
No,
it's
no.
Thin. It's thin.
It is a restorative broth. So we have some updates. Of course, Murray's cheese, we're going to update you on. And then I was watching The Jinx all the way through. It's the big news story this week about Robert Durst. So I can talk about that. I will tell you what, if you haven't seen it, I'll give you a spoiler alert. I went to see Cinderella. Got that.
Oh, I can't wait to hear, Leanne.
We will have the verdict on whether we're going to recap The Royals, the new Elizabeth Hurley vehicle on E! And it was just a suggestion to fill in the gap before Outlander starts. And it's hard to find a show to recap. You sort of have to find one that's just starting up so everyone's on the same episode. You can't go back to a show that's been on for years and start at episode one. So we thought we'd, you know, check this out as others did. Thank you. And we'll have our verdict later. Julie has the news out of IKEA. And those are always important stories.
They are, Leanne.
Dateline IKEA. And then finally, I just want to thank Joe for sending us a great article that, of course, we're going to talk about. Joe, 10 unconventional uses for lip balm. How could we not?
Seems like the month to do it, Leanne. March is the ideal lip balm month.
All right. Well, Julie, it is not just for lips. I mean, I can just preview it a little.
Woo!
That's all I'm saying. It's not just for lips. So what's been happening there?
Okay, well, let's just recap. Urban Nana is here this evening at Heather's Yoga Palace, bringing this podcast to you. And my assignment during the day is taking care of my six-month-old granddaughter, Josephine. And I would have to say I'm doing a bang-up job, Leanne. I mean, I am a very, you know, Urban Nana, we are out and about. We are, you know, taking in various things. We're going to parks. We've been to the library. We've been to the botanical gardens. We have a lot of fun during the day. And as well, we've been introducing solid food. So all is going well.
Oh, that's exciting. That really gives some structure to your day.
It does, Leanne. Like when you have you have a bowl of rice cereal.
Yeah,
it really anchors. It anchors it, Leanne. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all's going well. And, you know, they have the $1 million stroller that I take mm-hmm. Josephine out in. But I also bought in Dallas. I bought it at a used, you know, used baby store, a McLaren umbrella stroller.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be very good for them for travel and things like that. McLaren, Leanne, your family is into race car driving.
Right.
You know, these are high engineered products by It's a British racing company. Is that right? McLaren?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So there, it's a premium stroller, and I scored a premium McLaren stroller. I don't think it had ever been used, and I had never used it. Okay. So I think that's an important point to mention. Okay. So, you know, the snow has melted here in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And so I, and the garbage is down a bit, you know, because there was quite a bit of garbage in the ice pack.
I heard there's a lot of dog business too, that's been an issue.
But a lot of that has been cleared away. So I thought it was a good day to use the McLaren stroller. It's lighter, it's more agile, but Josephine is lower to the ground. So up until this point, it hasn't been safe to do that. So I take her on a nice stroll, it's going well, and we come back home. And by the end of the stroll, I admit it, Josephine is a little cranky, she wants to get out of the stroller, and she's starting to fuss. And so I attempt to pop her out of the stroller. And of course, the McLaren stroller system, Leanne, because it's highly engineered,
yes,
it has a 5-point security system. This baby cannot move anywhere. Okay. I can't get the baby out of the stroller, Leanne.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's got the F1 5-point strap on. Sure. She probably has the Hans device,
so
too.
So it's like, I'm 5 minutes, I'm struggling. The baby is now real. Josephine's upset. She is really like wailing. Okay. I'm starting to sweat. I'm looking around. There's no one to help me. I am home alone with the McLaren stroller. The baby is tired. She's crying. I don't know what to do. I keep pressing it. It's not working. I'm struggling. I try to get her out of the shoulder straps. I think I can just lift her out of the stroller.
Right.
Without like unbuckling it, impossible, right, in the McLaren. In fact, I think it tightens the straps, which makes Josephine cry even louder.
Oh, that sounds bad.
It's just bad, Leanne. It's bad. So I'm trying to like gather my wits about me, and I like step away from the situation. I take a step back.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to like step back. I'm going to try it again, you know, and it still won't go. Okay. So I'm like, okay. All right. There's only one thing to do.
Oh no.
I'm going to have to cut her out of it, Liam. I'm like, I do not want to be this kind of Nana that like ruins the stroller.
Yeah.
You know, the one that they, you know, they talk about, oh yeah, well, my mother like took the baby for a walk and then had to
cut her out of the stroller.
Okay. So I've made the decision, like, I'm going to press it a couple more times.
Right.
And then if that doesn't work, I'm getting the scissors because the baby needs like 15 minutes now. She needs to come out. There's nothing else to do. So I lift her in the McLaren stroller, take her up the brownstone steps.
Wow.
And I mean, she's crying. I'm in a sweat. I was like, I said a prayer, Leanne. I have to tell you, I was like, please, dear God, please, you know, I don't know if it's St. Anthony of the strollers. I don't know which saint, patron saint, you pray to.
I think it's St. Anthony.
To open up the strollers. And so, because I was like, I am going in to get the scissors, and this is my last press of this button, and if it doesn't work. And so I pressed it one more time, Leanne, and just one side of it opened up.
Was that enough?
And I slipped her out of it, okay? And then I took that stroller and I threw it in their lobby area. I still can't unbuckle the other side. Okay. But I just thought, oh boy. And then we just had to go up and sit on the couch, Josephine.
Ooh, yeah.
That was it, Leanne.
Yeah. That's time for some house hunters. You guys gotta say yes to the dress at that point.
I don't know, Leanne. I am never using that stroller again. I don't even want to speak about it. It's just, if they're going to use it, fine. But I'm not made for race cars. That's what I learned on that day.
Okay. Well, Julie, we have some updates on the show. Last weekend, I mentioned that my Ralph store had put in a new cheese bar, and they had given it a name and with an awning and, you know, all this old school graphics. And it looked totally cheesy to me, frankly. It looked totally fake, called Murray's Cheese. And there I told the whole story. We had Sheila and Liz on deck, both of whom have lived in New York City for decades. And apparently neither of them had heard of the world famous Murray's Cheese store either. So many Satellite Sisters emailed that they were posted on Facebook that they were yelling, like, it's the cheese store on Bleecker. What's the matter with you sisters? I don't know. None of us had heard of Murray's. We spent a lot of time in New York over the years, but maybe we didn't eat enough cheese. I mean, we
love cheese too. I'm surprised.
I don't know.
I've heard of it.
But I don't know. We went, my mother had a cheesecake place. She had a bagel place. There's a deli place. She had a place for petit fours in the city, but we didn't have a cheese place. So thank you for that. Not Ralph's brother, but just Murray. Just Murray. And then on the same Murray cheese thread, I just want to shout out to Ellen because she posted another Murray. This one is a black lab. And so we're calling him Furry Murray. And she just wanted to post him. He is her new treatment partner. So it's an interesting story. She was approved to get a dog for AAT, which is animal assisted therapy, from a wonderful organization called Needs. And she posted this adorable picture of Murray that I will post on the Satellite Sisters blog. He's completed a year and a half of training in the prison pup program, which is a very successful program in prisons. And the next step is that she goes for a full week of training, and then she's going to use Murray as she works with teens and young adults with Asperger's and related disorders, as well as other populations. So, all right. Shout out to Furry Murray. Ellen, thank you for posting his picture. We love it. We love it.
Maybe he'd like a little snippet of cheese.
Cheese. That's how you're going to train him, with Murray's cheese. The other recurring theme we mentioned on the Facebook page is restorative broth. People are now posting their recipes for restorative broth. Natalie posted a picture of all the restorative broth she made. Julie, I noticed yesterday in the meat department, they are selling a lot of bones now. And I think it might be like packaged up bones. I think it might be to bank in on this broth, this bone broth trend. And then somebody on the Facebook page posted what could be the grossest food product of all time. And that's broth for cats.
You know, Leanne, when I saw that, you know what I thought is it's the sound of the cats lapping.
I know. It made me gag. Like, oh, that would take forever for them to lick up. So,
okay. I think it's clearly established the Satellite Sisters, we're dog lovers.
We're not cat people.
We're not cat people.
Yeah.
We love cat people, but we're not so much the cats. Okay. So
Nancy posted it and she said, fortunately, or Janice responded by saying her cat doesn't like it, which is good because it's not cheap. And look at this, Julie. They turn meal times into wow time. With lickable, lovable broth.
No, it's lickable. The sound. It's the sound makes my toes curl, Leanne. I just can't.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Well, Leanne, I have another follow-up story, which is something that Liz had mentioned on a podcast. Maybe, I think, no more than 10 days ago.
Right.
About a new Netflix show called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
I have not had a chance yet.
And she described it as kooky and positive. It's Tina Fey produced it, and she's actually in it as well in a couple of the episodes. And it is just it's kooky and delightful. It's funny. It's very light and very positive. So even though it has kind of a very dark undertone, I would recommend it to our Satellite Sisters. I mean, I think it is really fun to watch. They're short episodes and you can make up your mind. But what the thing that I have been struck with, Leanne, is the show has a great theme song. The song is outstanding and I've been humming it and singing it since I've started to watch the episodes on Netflix. And it just makes me think that, like many of the other like Netflix shows, they don't really have like singable songs, you know, with lyrics. This one has lyrics and it's fun. I mean, when you think about House of Cards, that's just, they have that just sort of ominous music. And
yeah.
Did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
Yeah. No, that I mean, it's most shows, it's expensive to do opening credits now and theme songs and stuff. So they've just done away with it because they would rather sell the ad time. That's how it works now. That's why shows don't really have credits or anything like that anymore.
Yeah.
So they can sell that ad time. I'm trying to look it up, but I know I'm going to hit it and it will start to play the wrong stuff over the. I'm going to have to play
anyway,
that first.
You can look it up.
Okay.
But it's fun that Tina Fey and her husband developed the song. So it was a family affair that they sort of worked it out. And it's kind of based, it's one of those songs that has, it's been like songified news stories. You know, you've probably seen those in the past.
Okay.
For like, the rent is too damn high, or what? One of those
right.
songs that
yeah.
goes like that. Well, that's kind of the spirit of the song. They do it that way, although they have a great actor that is sort of singing the song, and it's just really cute. And once you hear it, you're definitely going. It's going to be in your head too.
Okay, because so. You're not the only one. Because there's an article in Us Weekly this week. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt theme song will stay stuck in your head forever.
No, it's good. I would put it up there when I think about my favorite theme songs, The Patty Duke Show and The Monkees for me. Those are like the two of the best. I mean, obviously you have Gilligan's Isle, but for my personal,
not obviously.
my personal favorites are Patty Duke. And The Monkees. And now I'm going to add the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt to that list, too.
Okay.
It's really good, Leon. It's
all right.
Well,
I'll try to throw it on at the end of the show if I can steal it off of somewhere. Oh, I didn't say that. So, okay. Oh, is that it?
Yes.
Is that it?
I think that's it. I think that's it, Leanne.
I'm just playing it on YouTube and sticking the microphone up to this. Quite a system. Okay. Ooh, that does sound wacky.
Yeah, it is. It's very fun. Okay. And if it's stuck in other people's heads, I'd like to know. So, well, Leanne, I saw a story today and I thought this is totally going to backfire. IKEA has come out. They've made a big announcement and they want people they need people's cooperation for this. They want people to kind of back down because they're cracking down on a phenomenon that started in Belgium, where in June, a girl for her 30th birthday, this was on her bucket list, what she really wanted to do was to play hide and seek in an IKEA store. Just imagine.
That's a good idea. That sounds fun.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
Hiding in the beds, hiding in the bins, you know, all over. Okay. So for some reason, IKEA accommodated her. They made this special allowance. They brought in extra security. And so she and her pals, because she was turning 30 years old, had a great game of hide and seek. In IKEA. Well, people got wind of this, Leon, and guess what? A Facebook page was sprung up, and 32,000 people in Belgium have signed up. They, too, would like to play hide-and-seek in IKEA, okay? And then, of course, Amsterdam heard about it. 19,000 people have signed up there. And now that I've heard about it, Leon, don't you want to do that? Doesn't that sound?
I did. Like, I'm not even going to tell my sons because that's what they will be doing Saturday night. They're going to take all their friends to go play hide and seek in IKEA. It sounds fantastic. It sounds like that could be a whole new revenue stream for them, like midnight to 6 a.m. Just rent it out for hour-long IKEA hide and seek games.
Okay. Well, I mean, but their announcement today was they don't want people to play hide and seek in IKEA. Okay. So, you know, for safety and security reasons, they don't think this is a good idea. But I had no idea that it was even an idea, Leanne. But now that I know that you can do that, sounds.
You're right. They just blew the lid off that.
Yeah. They're going to have some problems with that.
That does sound really fun. Okay, Jewel, we did a story a couple weeks ago about unconventional uses for over-the-counter medicines. Do you remember that?
Yes,
you know, putting prescription H on places that you never thought to put prescription
preparation.
Preparation H, right.
And we got some conflicting reports. Some people have been very successful with that, and then others were like, do not do that. So,
So
what are you supposed to do with lip balm?
Okay, right. I appreciated that Joe sent in this lip balm story. She said, you're definitely going to want to see this. And, you know, I didn't expect it to be revolutionary, but Julie, I mean, there's nothing you can't do with lip balm. Now that I read this, okay. First, I just want you to start at the top of your head. You can tame flyaways with your lip balm. So next time you have some flyaways, you got some baby hairs, you just apply the lip balm to your strands via your fingers to tame your mane. Okay.
All right.
Just keep moving down. You need to freshen up in the middle of the day. Maybe Urban Nana needed to freshen up after the stroller incident. All right. They suggest just rubbing some chapstick along your cheekbones and under your eyes for a fresh, dewy look. Minimizes.
Really? Okay.
Just put it on your cheekbones and under your eyes. But don't stop there, Julie, because if you need to manage your brows, all right, and you're out of eyebrow gel, or I don't even know what that is, but I don't even have any, don't worry, because you could just tap some lip balm along your brows, brushing them into place. Okay.
I mean, so far we're just taking that stick and we're just rubbing it all over our head.
It's all over your face. It's in your hair. It's in your eyes. It's under your eyes. It's on your cheekbones. Keep going down. You just keep going down, Julie, because what your hands, they get cracked and dry in the winter. Don't worry. You're just going to cover the cracks with a thick layer of lip balm. And then you're going to go to the cuticles and you're just going to balm up your cuticles. So it'll awaken moisturized nails. And then finally, Julie, this is it. Well, if you cut yourself shaving your legs, say you do that, boom, lip balm it. That's it.
I didn't know you could do that.
It's going to stop the bleeding. And then finally, and who doesn't this happen to? You have blisters all over your feet with new shoes. Just now that you've covered your face and your hair and your hands and your legs and lip balms, just rub lip balms onto your feet.
And aren't you going to be a little sticky?
I don't know. First of all, that's like an entire stick of lip balm right there. I mean,
come on. It's multiple sticks, Leanne. I mean that's, doing your face and your, and then your hands and
and then all of your feet. And do you use the same lip balm to cover your feet that you would do to like control bleeding?
Well, just do not repeat that. If you get to your feet, do not go back to your head. I don't think.
All right. So thank you, Joe. You're right. I mean, those are tips to clip for all the Satellite Sisterhood.
I'm very tempted. I'm tempted with the lip balm, Leanne, to just
flyaways. I know. It's good to know it has multiple uses. It's just
get a stick and just start applying it.
Start balming. Start balming it up. All right. Big news story this week was the jinx. Okay, Jill, the story about Robert Durst.
I'm way behind on this, Lee, and please fill me in.
All right. So if you haven't seen this, it has been a giant news story. So I don't think I'm giving away any spoilers. But there were some of us watching the HBO documentary, a 6-part documentary. And it came to a stunning conclusion this weekend in terms of the actual documentary. And now murder charges have followed. But here's the basic storyline. Robert Durst is the eccentric and some would say crazy and now some would say psychopathic son of billionaire real estate developer Seymour Durst. And the Durst company owns a lot of big buildings in New York, including like half of Times Square. So they are really a big deal in real estate. And in 1982, Robert Durst was investigated for murdering his wife. His wife, Kathy, a medical student, disappeared after a fight they had. They were living in the house. They had a weekend house in the country. She allegedly took the train to New York, but she never showed up for medical school the next day, and she was never seen again. And
they've never found the body or anything.
They never found the body or anything like that. The case went cold. The husband was a suspect because they had had a fight, because Kathy had reached out to family and friends and said she didn't feel safe. She wanted a divorce. She was beginning to feel threatened by Bob Durst. And so it was amazing in this documentary by Andrew Jarecki, who did Chasing the Friedmans, if you ever saw that, the friends of Kathy, they just never forgot her and the family never forgot her. And they sort of formed their own little, girl detective league, and they chased down leads and they could just never get anything to nail Bob. And mainly because they had so much money and so many lawyers, he was just protected from like the second the story went national. So that was 30 years ago. All right. 10 years after that, almost 20 years after that, they're going to reopen the case. That Jeannie Pirro that's on CNN, she's the prosecutor of Westchester County. She's going to reopen the case. She thinks she has new evidence and she wants to talk to one of Bob's good friends, this woman, Susan Berman, who as a material witness, she thinks Susan Berman who had acted kind of as a spokesman during the event and everything, was a really good friend of Bob's, might have actually told her something. So Susan Berman calls Bob and says, they want to talk to me. I don't know what to do. Or no, she just announced, the police announced they're going to talk to her. She calls Bob. They set up, like, she tells Bob, I'd love to see you before this happens. He's going to at some point come to LA, but there are no firm dates. And then wouldn't you know, 3 weeks later, she winds up dead. She's assassinated, like mob hit style. And because her father was actually in the mob, there is sort of some thought that this was just a mob hit. She was a writer. She was developing a TV show about the mob. Maybe that was it. Huh. But again, they can place this Bob Durst in California, but Northern California, they can't place him in Southern California. Huh. So the case goes cold. 2 years after that, he's arrested in Galveston, Texas. He's on the lam. He is arrested for murdering his like cranky 80-year-old neighbor and then dismembering him, Julie.
Yeah, I heard parts of this story and I was like, how could this all be the same person?
It's all the same person. Okay. Cutting him up into little pieces and throwing him into Galveston Bay. And his brilliant lawyer, DeGarin, argues that this was self-defense. Huh. That he shot him out of self-defense and then he panicked. He got really drunk and he cut him up. And, well, that was it. And they acquit him. They let him go.
Amazing.
Over the course of this 6-part documentary, it is really an incredible piece of filmmaking because I didn't really recall any of this story. None of the details were even vaguely familiar. I didn't really recall the disappearance or the Susan Berman murder, even though I was living here in LA. So we sort of watched it completely cold. Colin had heard from his people on Reddit, where he gets all his news, that, oh, mom, there's this good documentary on HBO. So we'd watch him Monday afternoons when he came home from school. And every single episode, our jaw would drop. Like every episode, it just got more bizarre and more bizarre. And when they acquitted him of like murdering and dismembering his neighbor, like while being a like on the lam cross dresser in Galveston, Texas.
Yeah. Wasn't he like pretending to be like a mute woman?
Yes. Is a mute woman. Yes. And he's just the oddest guy in the world. He is not the slightest bit likable. He is without charm. He is odd and quirky and uncomfortable. Yet this whole documentary was his idea. And so it was just unbelievable. And then the filmmakers start to uncover one critical piece of evidence about the Susan Berman murder. And I won't go into details in case you do want to watch it. And I don't want to dissuade people. It's not too late to watch it.
Because Liz asked that question, or Sister Liz asked that question on the Facebook page. Is it too late to watch the HBO documentary?
It's still a really stunning piece of filmmaking, I think. And there's been a lot of comparisons to Serial, which I know a lot of the Satellite Sisterhood listen to. And it's an easy, quick comparison to make because it is, episode by episode solving a true crime, or in this case, three true crimes. But there are a couple of big differences. I mean, obviously one is a film, but two, what's really interesting for the film and was really hit me as very powerful was that, the family of his wife, Kathy, that disappeared, and the stepson of Susan Berman cooperate with the filmmakers. You see them on camera talking about what it's like to lose somebody. And particularly in the case of Kathy, where they all know it's him. And they never found anything. They never found a body. They never found anything. And you can see the pain on her sibling's face. Her brother speaks extensively in the documentary. Her mother speaks extensively. There's a niece that talks about what that's like to have this giant question mark out there for 30 years. And that
must be just a terrible form of grief.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And that really came through in this documentary. The niece says at one point, I would like to say it brought our family closer together, but it didn't, because it's just unsettling. And that you also learn at the same time that her family is going through all this. The Durst family never, ever made a single phone call to Kathy's family. No condolence phone call, no note, no letter, nothing. Nobody ever, after the news broke, there was no communication whatsoever, which says a lot about how they rallied the forces, the Dursts over there. But that was really powerful. And that didn't happen in Serial. There wasn't the cooperate, which is the podcast, which goes, you know, episode by episode, looking at a murder mystery or a murder conviction from 15 years ago, where Adnan, the guy who was convicted and sitting in jail, is sort of laying out his case for why he didn't do it. But you don't ever hear from the murder victim's mom in that case. You don't really get a sense of his family. You don't hear from them. So that was a big difference in this one, just that he talked to the family and you get that real sense of what that experience is like. It's just unsettling. And then you also just get this incredible sense of what a psychopath is. It's indescribable, this guy on camera. So that's why I would say it's not too late. Like, even the last episode, when that aired Sunday night, the news had come out that he had already been arrested in New Orleans based on, you know, evidence essentially that the filmmakers dug up in the fifth episode. And now they have the sixth episode, which is where they come back. They lure him. They get him finally after a year and a half to agree to do another interview, and they present the evidence to him. And you've probably seen all the news clips and stuff,
right?
But it was super dramatic. But just watching him react to that evidence is just a psychological study that I think is worth it. And I'm sure every actor who ever has to play a psychopath in TV will be required to watch that. Because it really, going back to Serial again, where the guy kept insisting on his innocence, and, you know, at the end, the producer said, oh, I don't think I can make a judgment if he did it or he didn't do it. This, watching the Jinx, will convince you absolutely that the Serial guy is guilty.
Okay.
Because it just, you know, people can lie for 30 years that they didn't do something and they still have done it. So totally worth watching. Just, I've been obsessed with the story since it aired. Colin and I, you know, trolling the internet for other pieces of information.
But it's, now, did the filmmakers not disclose this information to the police for a long period of time?
Some period of time, but the police have known about the information for 2 years.
Okay.
They have a timeline, and they were out sort of putting out the timeline, and then they stopped doing interviews because they said, we're probably going to be witnesses and we're not allowed to do it. But here's what I think. Like, that seemed to be the story the day after. What was the timeline? When did the filmmakers tell the police? Right. My interpretation of that was a lot of jealous journalists trying to find fault in this. Like, okay. I don't think Kathy's family cares. They just care that this may be coming to an end. Or Susan Berman's family, they care. Like, the police knew in some amount of time. The police were on their own timeline. The filmmaker said, you know, we knew we could gather evidence in a different way than the police. But they did inform the police about this key piece of evidence that they uncovered. And then they informed them about the audio tape when they discovered that later. So I'm going to let the prosecutors worry about the timeline. It does not diminish the anything about the film, really. So,
hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So Pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leon.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Well, do you think they will now finally get them? From watching this, do you think the evidence is strong enough that a jury will convict him?
You know what? You have to go back to the fourth episode where that with jury in Galveston lets him go. It is jaw-dropping. That one, it's just, you cannot believe it. So when you have really good lawyers and when you have so much money, I mean, these people are billionaires. So although his brother came out this week and said, I'm glad he will finally be held accountable for what he's done. You know, they're not supporting him in any way, it appears, in terms of emotionally or anything. They try to interview his brother for the documentary, and that's kind of an interesting how that all unfolds. But it's clear his brother is terrified of him. His brother has a bodyguard to protect him from his own brother. So who knows? I don't know, because he has this Dick DeGaren, that famous defense attorney, who is a really good attorney. So I don't know, but I feel like we know.
Okay. Well, Liam, you and Colin, like I know. Keep us posted.
I feel like I know. So go ahead. If you have HBO or they're just about to offer HBO, you don't need cable. You just get it over the internet. Or if it comes out on DVD, it's worth watching. It's a great piece of filmmaking. And it's only 6 episodes. It's not 12 like Serial. It's tight and it's really well done. All right. I also went to see Cinderella this week, Julie. Fantastic.
How was it?
It's fantastic.
Is it?
It's fantastic. Okay.
Can you go without a young child? Adults go to that?
There were definitely adults there. Yes. Okay. A lot of them were Disney, big Disney fans and stuff, but you could totally go in without a young child. And it's just a very uplifting movie. It's a very straightforward portrayal. But honestly, Kevin Branagh was the director. They have a wonderful script. It's a better script, you know, than maybe it deserves. And the acting is unbelievable. The cast is unbelievable. I mean, you have Kate Blanchett and you have Derek Jacobi and you have like the world's most handsome Prince Charming from Game of Thrones and Lily James from Downton Abbey steals the show.
How did Lady Rose do?
She is so good. She is so good. She is not a victim. but she's like appropriate for her time. And she is just wonderful. There are moments where you tear up, and not just like you genuinely feel emotion, and it's just beautiful to look at. So, and I'm sure, Alice will want to go many, many times when you get back to Dallas.
I'm going to grab my granddaughter Alice and go see Cinderella. Good. I'm so happy to hear that you liked it. And, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds
perfect.
Good.
Okay. So what's the opposite? It was weird. I like went to Cinderella, then came home and watched the last episode of The Jinx. So that was an odd contrast. So
I don't think that's good for you. I think you should have had a Kimmy Schmidt chaser at the end, Lillian. Just so that you'd end up on a positive note, okay? Just try, Kimmy. She's unbreakable. So
this is what Colin and I did when we watched like the last 30 seconds of that documentary. Like that's how we reacted. Like that's how dramatic it was. Okay. So anyway, moving on to the show, we discussed recapping The Royals on E! E! Network's first scripted drama about a fictitious royal family set in England and into all kinds of hijinks, into all kinds of royal hijinks and intrigue. Julie, you watched it. You had to watch it in multiple parts on YouTube. I watched
it. You can watch it on YouTube. And actually, E! Network has it. Yeah, you can download it
okay.
for free. Okay.
So what'd you think?
So here at the Yoga Palace, we don't have the E! Network, but Leon, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we can go the distance this piece of work.
No.
But there were moments in this show that I thought, well, that's not bad acting there.
No.
Okay. And so it had some moments. Okay. And I can see if you were homesick with the flu.
Yeah.
You know, and or like a snowstorm, blizzard, like you're stuck in Boston 2015, like it replays again and you're home and you might want to watch this, get yourself some restorative broth and sit back and watch it, okay, and not be so judgmental about it.
Yeah, it's certainly not. I was hoping for maybe a little bit higher quality of writing and sort of production, like overall production values. But no, so don't be fooled. If the end of Gossip Girl left a void in your viewing, then this is the show for you, because it's kind of like a low rate Gossip Girl. So, you know, including like great clothes, you know, wild behavior, and like right in the middle of it for no reason at all, like a stupid American teenage girl. So even though we're looking at the British royal family and there's a king and there's a queen and the heir to the throne has just died mysteriously, and there's the princess who's out all night and parties too much and ends up on the front page of the tabloids, and there's the new heir to the throne, like right in the middle of that is like this American teenager for no reason whatsoever. Yet she's in every scene. So I don't think the character or plot development is going to be enough to sustain a recap.
No, I don't think there's enough of a narrative arc.
Thank
whatever,
you, Julie.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, there really isn't. I did like Prince Liam. Okay. He's delightful to look at. And, and I didn't know whether, because his name is Liam and yours is Liam.
Liam.
If you felt any kinship.
I did, Julie. I felt a little bit of kinship. Yeah. His character, I wasn't quite sure of, but I felt name-wise, yes, we were on the same page.
Well, Leon, I had like about five moments where I was watching it and I'd said, I know I wasn't at Downton Abbey anymore. And I mean, it was like the opening scene, okay? The opening scene with the wild party and I guess you're not so bright. You're not bright enough to figure it out because The E! Network felt like they needed to have a theme song underneath it, like "Girl is a problem, girl is a problem, girl is a problem." Right? I was like, I'm not in Downton Abbey anymore. They never did that. They never did that. Or how about the opening shot of Ophelia? She's the American girl.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, holy smokes!
I know.
I was like, what's that camera angle? Well, what? I just couldn't even believe that.
What is that camera angle?
Oh, really?
Woo, yeah, you're right.
So that was another one. Okay. Number three, the butler who comes in to tell King Simon that his son is dead. Okay, he was no Mr. Carson.
No.
Okay,
no.
I mean, he was like, get some new help, okay? Get out to Downton Abbey and get yourself some real royal servants or something, because he really wasn't doing that for me. And then, of course, they have those fascinator sisters. That's
yes. Evil stepsisters in Cinderella. They were almost, who was Daisy, of course, from Downton Abbey, is in Cinderella.
Yes, okay.
She's one of the evil stepsisters. And it's the same two characters in the Royals. Yes.
But the same two hats. Even their names, it was like Penelope and Prudence. Like,
yeah.
Whoever wrote the script didn't really work too hard to come up with names, right?
No.
But okay, there's the scene where they're like the fascinator sisters, that's what I'll refer to them as, with the bong. Again, you're never going to see a bong on Downton Abbey, okay?
That's good,
like,
point.
Really?
Although, Julie, when you think about it, we have had some drugs on Downton Abbey. We had the weird, like, Thomas thing. We have had the help sleeping with the well-to-dos. We have had that. Look at Sybil and Tom, for instance. That was the thing. We have had, like, Mary ended up in bed with the dead guy. Okay, it's a lot of the same storylines. I mean, Downton Abbey is a lot posher. With, you know, the mystery, the son is dead and some kind of mystery death. It's probably Mr. Bates. Mr. Bates probably did it. I'm sure he killed the heir to the throne on the Royals.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undarius seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, but what about the dialogue, Leanne? Here's one of my favorite scenes. Maybe you recall. It was between Eleanor. She's like the wild princess sister. And then Ophelia, she's the inexplicable
American girl.
That's the American girl that's in it. And so Ophelia, the American, says, "You're a blankety blank." And then Eleanor responds, "No, I'm just a blankety blank with money and power." Oh, hey, that's some good dialogue right there, Leanne. Okay?
That is Gossip Girl level dialogue. That's what I'm telling you. That's who will like this? Fans of Gossip Girl. Don't expect Blair and Chuck, but it has the potential to turn into that. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a regular thing for us.
Okay, but what I did like about it, some nice interior scenes.
Beautiful.
I like the costumes. And surprisingly, like Princess Eleanor, the wild child girl, she has a kind of a touching scene with her father. I thought that scene in the kitchen, I was like, okay, this girl can act.
I know, she's a good actress. Yes.
You know, so there are some moments like that. Liam, the prince, is cute. And so he's good to
And
look
the king's kind of hot. He's a little bit like Lord Grantham. He looks like he's in another show, though, you know? He's doing a BBC version of the royals. No one told him that this is an E-scripted drama. So, and why do you think the King of England wears like V-neck sweaters a lot?
I don't know.
I didn't understand that. And Elizabeth Hurley, she's like the women in that show Revenge, which is another terrible show I enjoy, but they're dressed to the nines all the time and like wildly inappropriate skin tight dresses and like giant jewels. So even though her son has just died, she's like wearing the crown jewels at dinner.
I know. She's got so many diamond bangles on. It's hard for her to bring her hands up to her face to cry or to show
to emote, yeah.
For her dead son. Okay. She does sleep upright in bed, which is different than Lady Cora, you know, but
she got out of bed. So you can say that about her.
I know. So that was good. I don't know. I mean, Ophelia's father, who's supposed to be head of security, his office, it's like Restoration Hardware catalog. Right? With the giant clock.
The giant clock.
I don't know what.
What's up with that? I think that's a set left over from that animated movie about the mice. I don't know. I didn't understand that either. He's like up in the clock tower. I don't know. Anyway, don't worry. This is a one-off thing. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching it.
It's not, I don't think it's going to harm you.
No.
Okay. And again, stuck in a snowstorm, home with the flu, you know, just housebound.
After you've watched the McLaughlin Report or something. I don't know.
You have your wisdom teeth taken out, maybe some plastic surgery you're recovering from. I think this, you know, the royals, it's totally safe.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's that. We gave it a whirl. I'm still going to watch. All right, a couple of things. First of all, we have on Satellite Sisters, I can't reveal much, but I just want people to tune into the weekend show. That's all I'm saying. Tune into the weekend show.
Is it going to be like Jinx, Leanne? You got some big announcement or something?
Well, I'm not going to be on the show, and I'll explain that. But you guys have some big announcements. So
we do want
people to tune in. Also know that... I hope Liz doesn't kill me, but I know we're redoing our website. We're, You know, we're just refreshing the website. So if it's down for a couple of hours Friday night, you know why. So you don't have to thank you for emails. People always like to give us technical updates, but we are refreshing the website. So there'll be some work done on the website and it should be good to go Saturday. If there are any issues, we'll try to get them fixed for Sunday. And there always are when you launch a new website. But look for a new website and an announcement on the weekend show. So just want to preview that. Just want to let people know. Tune in.
That's exciting, Liam. That's exciting.
It is exciting. All right.
It's
and
sort of
I did
episodic, you know, that we're, you know, we, you have to keep
on the next Satellite Sisters.
We haven't killed anyone or anything. So that's good. Good work.
Previously on Satellite Sisters. Also, you know what? Just sending some good thoughts out to one of my Satellite Sisters, Liz, one of my oldest friends from growing up in Connecticut from high school. She's a bridesmaid at my wedding. Now she lives out on Martha's Vineyard. But Julie, she was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 weeks ago. I know. I just can't believe, you know, she can't believe it. I can't believe it. I got a text from her a couple weeks ago and she's like, oh, I have to go get, you know, they have to do the mammogram again. I'm a little worried. Have you ever had this happen? I'm like, yeah, I had it happen once. They take really good care of you. They usually read it right there and let you know. Let me know what happens. And an hour later, I got a call. They found a lump and she lives on the vineyard. So she had to go into Boston for a biopsy and it's stage one and it's very treatable, but she's in Boston today having her procedure. And so just good vibes from the Satellite Sisterhood out to my Satellite Sister Liz. But you know, it's one of those things. Every time I read a study about mammograms, like I understand that they have all the statistical data. But many of the women I know who've been diagnosed with breast cancer discovered the cancer with a mammogram. Like doctors said they would not have found this without the mammogram. And Liz does monthly exams and she just hadn't gotten a mammogram in like 3 years. But like me, she's turning 50 this, you know, in a couple weeks. And so she thought, well, I'll just do those tests while I can downtime here in the winter on Martha's Vineyard. And that's when they found the mammogram. That's when they found it during the mammogram. So she's taking care of herself. And I said, is there anything I can do? There's nothing I can do. But I was like, do you need me to call people? Is there anything I can do? I know she has a very tight community there and she has her sisters to help her. It's a lot to go from an island into Boston
for the
medical stuff. And it gets expensive. And so she jokingly texted me back, like, you know, I'd like some of those Hunter Wellington boots, you know? I was like, got it. I'm on it. I can do that. I saw the cute college girls in DC wearing those hunter green boots with the socks on the outside. No one wears them here because it's not wet or cold here. But so
yeah,
I did.
They wear them in Dallas too. So you sent her some boots?
Sent her some boots. She was so psyched. She got them before she texted me a photo. That there she was like wearing her boots off to her hospital, off to her appointment in Boston. So good. Yeah. So that's what I can do. I can't do much for her on the ground, but that's what I can do for her. And then, finally this weekend, I'm going, you know what, Julie, I'm going away for my first girls' weekend in like 22 years of marriage.
Leanne.
I know.
Wow. That's exciting. And it's good, Leanne. I mean, I'm sorry. What took you so long?
I don't know. I've been busy. You know, I don't know. I mean, and I see my friends, but we just don't plan like these trips and, you know, there's been enough, you know, college reunions and stuff I'll go to, but I live close to my college and I don't know, just never actually, other than you guys, when we went away for the initial work trip, but that was work. So my friend Sally has a beach house and she's like, come down with our old group of mom friends. All of us had kids that started in kindergarten with our oldest. All of us have like 20-year-old kids. And we all met in kindergarten. So 5 of us are going to spend the weekend at her house at the beach. So I'm super psyched.
Oh, Leanne, that will be really fun.
Yes.
I'm sure it will be. I mean, because you don't get to see these women that often.
No, not anymore. No. You know, the kids were together for years went to different high schools. And now, of course, they're all off at colleges or doing various things with their lives. And so it will be fun to get together. And then we're really psyched because my friend Sarah's coming and she was an editor at Bon Appetit for 20 years. So she's like, can I bring all my chocolates? I'm testing a lot of new recipes.
That sounds like a perfect weekend where you're testing chocolates.
Yeah.
I love it.
And she's publishing a book this month. I'll look it up and put the link on cocktails. So she's
That sounds like she's going to be handy in the kitchen, Leanne. You need at least one girl on your girls' weekend to do that. Yeah. I think it's much more fun to eat in rather than try to eat out on girls' weekend.
You know what? And that's our plan. Right. I'm actually going to take the train down Friday, so I'm not even driving, and then looking forward to it. So there you go. So that's why I won't be on the show, but you will. Other people will tune in. There's an announcement, and that's it. Julie, it's almost an hour, our show.
It's a very restorative broth, Leanne, that we prepared this evening.
It is. I feel cleansed. Do you?
I do. It's lifted my spirits.
All right, Nana, I know you need to go to sleep, and I need to. Oh, I hope that cabbage just hasn't boiled away on the stove.
Yeah, you better get down to the cabbage.
The house is really going to smell
really
bad.
Yes. When you overcook the cabbage, Leanne.
All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. You can find us at Sat Sisters. You can like our Facebook page. And hold off. If you haven't been to SatelliteSisters.com, just wait till like Saturday or Sunday to go to SatelliteSisters.com and see the new website. One of the features is that we have made the audio archives much, much easier to discover, to search, to listen to.
We can find the shows, even us. So that's how easy it is.
Yes. And there has been a lot of work done behind the scenes to make that happen. So that was our goal. And that's what we're launching over the weekend. But so if you see things amiss, don't worry. It's all good. It's all going to be good. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.